How many people here have been to camp? I have. A lot of people. So that's awesome. It is true that you'll meet people there that you'll know the rest of your life. Kim Romer just came in and her little kids were running around, and it's like I met their grandpa when he was 18 in 1962. So it's interesting to look back and recognize that those friendships go on just for, you know, that's what, 47 years. So, well, my sermon today has something for everyone, but I'd like to start by talking to the young people. And these, you know, young people from, you know, early 20s on down to, you know, as young as you can stand listening to me. And I'd like you to listen to this story and put yourself in this position that I'm going to talk about. I'd like you to think about your very, very best friend, the person you care about the most, whoever that might be. Now, it might be one of your parents, it might be another young person that you care deeply about. You don't want to see, you know, anything happen to this person because you care about them very much. And I'd like to have you think about this, and I'd like to have you take this person, and you're going to go camping together. And it might be with your family or the two of you alone, depending on, you know, what age you are and whether you're both girls or both boys, you know. But I want you to picture going camping with this person. And you really want to make this happen because you want to have a good time with this person. And you're going to go to your favorite place. You're going to go up in the mountains, and this place is absolutely gorgeous. There's a lake there. The campground is up above the lake, where it looks over the lake out onto the mountains, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. And there's a camping place there. You're going to camp out, you know, in a tent, but you're going to have a fire, you know, camp out, and then the next day you're going to be able to go hiking or whatever you want to do. So this all takes place, and you're enjoying yourself, you're having a great time. You've enjoyed the night before, a good meal. Then the next day, you can do whatever you want to do. And there's a lot to do at this lake. There are trails around the lake, you can go fishing, you can, you know, do a little boating, you know, whatever strikes your fancy. And there's trails that go everywhere. And there's trails that go up into the mountains from the lake, you know, like I said, trails around the lake, down to the lake. And you're excited to show your friend this area because you've been there before and you know what's fun. So you take off from the camp area and you're showing your friend all this stuff, and you come to this trail, and it's a trail that appears to go up behind some rocks and then on up into the mountains. And your friend says, "Let's take that trail." But you've been here before, and you know that around that rock outcropping and up a little ways, there's a bunch of big rocks that have come down, and there's some areas underneath those rocks, and there's a bear that lives in those rocks that just loves to come down and hassle hikers. And you tell your friend, "No, we don't want to go there." And your friend says, "Well, no, I really want to go. I mean, there's obviously no problem here. It's a well-traveled trail. It appears to be a great place to go, and I really want to go." And you say, "Well, now, wait a minute, you know, I've been here before, and I know that there's danger up there." And your friend says, "Well, I want to go. I thought you were my friend. I thought you know, let's do this. It obviously looks good." Well, if you can relate to this, then you can relate to a little bit of what it's like to be a parent. because that's the type of dilemma that parents find themselves in. And what I'd like to do is have you think about this and think about, you know, what this is like. Because generally speaking, you know, parents don't want their children to go through the same things that they've gone through. You know, you don't want your children to experience the same pains and the same problems that you've experienced. So you try to protect your children from this. You know, parents simply know more than their children do at that stage of life. You know, as we saw in the video, you know, we're trying to pass on the insight and the knowledge of life and situations to our children so that they don't have to go through the same things that we've gone through. When I was very young, probably 5 or 6, my dad had a big bonfire. And in this bonfire, he threw a board that had a horseshoe nailed on it. And as a little kid, you know, a little boy, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool to have that horseshoe? Well, later on, when the board had burned off the horseshoe, he took a pitchfork and he flicked it out on the yard. And he said, now wait till that cools. Well, as soon as it stopped glowing red, I went over and grabbed it. And just, you know, of course, just fried all 4 of my fingers and my thumb. And Dad said, why did you do that, you know? And I said, well, I thought it was cool. I thought it was cold. Not only was it cool because it was a horseshoe, but it was cold. I just didn't know that because it wasn't glowing red, it wasn't still hot. So it's things like that. I simply didn't know. You know, he said, wait till it cooled. Well, I thought it was cold. So we try to protect our children from things that are going to hurt them. Later in life, you know, those of us who are adults, you know, how often do you find yourself saying, if I had only known then what I know now, if I'd only known that by doing this, this would have happened. Or if I'd only known, you know, that by not doing this, this would have happened. You know, we find ourselves in that position, you know. And what we're doing is, you know, having the experiences of life, you know, we're having lived through it and understood, you know, cause and effect. With a historical perspective, you know, we can see now what we obviously couldn't see then. But what we're trying to do in raising our children is to pass that back to them. And of course, you know, with their, you know, at their stage of their life, a lot of times they can't, you know, they don't have the historical perspective we have, so it's many times that's rejected. Even though we know, it's painful for us to watch, but sometimes we have to do it. So we try to pass that wisdom and insight to our children. And there are young people who have a tremendous amount of insight and wisdom. You know, we saw that in the video. You know, there are kids who, you know, especially in this day and age, you know, people have to grow up a lot faster. And, you know, kids can gain a tremendous amount of insight if they stop and think. And especially with guidance. So we try to, you know, every generation, I think, tries to pass wisdom and insight to the younger generation as they come up to train. Of course, it seems, at least to me, that recently the generations become a little more disconnected, that of course times are changing so rapidly recently that that helps put that disconnect in there, but there seems to be more of a disjointedness between the generations, so that some of that knowledge is not passed back. So we try to do this with our children. We try to pass on the experience, the knowledge that we have, so that they don't have to repeat the same mistakes that we do. And God also does this. Why does God give us His Word? Why does He give us the Bible? It's for the same reason. That we don't, let me go to a scripture. In our relationship with God, what are we called? Let's go to John 13 and verse 33. John 13, 33. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I go, you cannot come." But the point I'm making is, what does he call his disciples? Little children. In Galatians 4 and verse 19, we don't have to turn there, but when Paul's talking to the Galatians, he calls them little children. You know, my little children. And in 1 John, when John is talking to, the people that he's writing to in 1 John, he says, my little children. Of course, he's an old man, John is, at the time he's writing that. And he's writing to the Christians, and he calls them little children. You know, it's a very endearing term, but it's also the way God views us. And there's another scripture that I won't turn to, but in Daniel, chapter 7, Daniel is giving a discourse, and he calls God the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days. So in our relationship with God, we are little children, and He is Ancient of Days. Now, we might use that term nowadays as sort of a derogatory term. It's like, wow, well, yeah, that guy's Ancient of Days, you know. But in most cultures, age is looked at with respect and honor for the very reason I'm talking about. They've been through, decades upon decades of life's experience, and they've learned a great deal that can be passed on to the younger generation if they are willing to listen. And if they don't want to repeat the same mistakes that their parents and these older people have done. So God is called the Ancient of Days. And God has given us instruction that if we pay attention to, will cause us to have a happier life. Will avoid a tremendous amount of the pitfalls that are there for us to fall into. One of the definitions of wisdom that I found some years ago is that wisdom is insight into the true nature of things. Now, in the video, they talked about, how things work together, and that's part of it as well. But insight into the true nature of things. If you look at the front of the bulletin, it has Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Since the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the acknowledgement of God and the acknowledgement that God's way is the best way to live is the beginning of wisdom. You have to acknowledge God to even begin to understand the true nature of what's going on here on planet Earth. That's the beginning. And then God gives us His law and the Bible. Let's turn to Galatians 4 and verse 6. Galatians 4, 6. It says, "And because you are sons," so we are little children of God, "because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, or Daddy, Father. Wherefore you're no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So God views us as children and as heirs. After we are converted, baptized, given God's Holy Spirit, we are sons and heirs, the same as Jesus Christ. And it puts us in a different category, so to speak. Now, what does God have to say to us as He views us in this way, as His children? Let's turn to, let's go to Proverbs 3. As a young person, I used to love to read Proverbs. There's so much in there. And then as I have gotten older, it's like, it's kind of like Job said, you know, I've read about you, but now I understand. And it's kind of the same way, you know, you can know, but then through life's experience, you start to gain understanding that comes through that perspective that you have. Proverbs 3, and starting in verse 1. And view this as God talking to you. "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the table of your heart." And that's what we're trying to do as parents as well, is to work with God to write this on your heart so that this is simply the way you are. Verse 4, "So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So you'll find favor in the sight of God and in the sight of man. It's interesting, having been in the working world for 40 years, that this is true. The right people will notice what you do right. And if you apply the principles of God, they are noticed. I'll give this example just because I can remember it, because it happened to me. But my son and I work together, and we work in the construction industry. And I forget how many years ago now, but we used to do fire and water damage restoration. And we subcontracted for a larger company, and we were one crew, and they had, I don't think they had a dozen other crews, but they had multiple other crews. And one day the superintendent talked to us, and he said, "You know, I just wish I could clone you guys." and we're gone. He said, you know, I can send you out and I just don't worry about it. And I can't do that with anybody else. And Jim and I looked at each other and we went, why is that? You know, we have a decent skill level, but so do other people, you know. We're decently efficient and decently fast, but so are other people, you know. And the only thing we could figure out was, generally speaking, we weren't perfect at this, but generally speaking, we did what we said we were going to do, and we did it when we said we were going to do it. Which, if you're in construction, is, you know, quite an accomplishment, really. But it was interesting that because of those principles applied in daily life, it put us on the top of the pile. It was amazing. It was like, it shouldn't be that way. But yet it was. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You know, that's a, if you would just do that, you know, if we could just do that, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not to lean on our own understanding, you know, to do what God says, even though it may not make any sense to you at that point, but to do the wise thing, which is what God says, rather than to lean on our own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So we should acknowledge God in whatever we do, and He will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. So we should give offerings and give tithes of what we, our increase. Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, even as a father the son in whom He delights. So sometimes God will correct us. You know, most of the time, God doesn't really need to directly correct us because we do receive the fruits of our own actions. You know, in a lot of ways, you know, we make our future with the decisions we make today. You know, it's surprising. There are certain instances of situations that I've known and things that have happened in my life where if you know, in one case, there was a murder that took place. And if you trace the events back that led up to that, you trace those events back, and it's a series of bad decisions. I mean, you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm not talking about that. But sometimes you can trace those back, and it's a series of unwise decisions. And other times God might, you know, sometimes, as with us and our children, sometimes we allow our children to reap the benefit of their decisions. You know, we don't step in and keep them from harm because it's time to learn responsibility and it's time to learn that you're responsible for your own actions. And sometimes God does that for us. Verse 13, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof better than fine gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, and happy is everyone that retains her. So this is what God wants for us. You know, he wants the good things for us. I'd like to read Philippians 2 and verse 12 and 13. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation because it just reads smoother. It says, "Dearest friends, you were always so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him." I think we're familiar with that scripture, that God is working in us. You know, we are his beloved little children, and he's working in us to bring us towards the stature of Jesus Christ. And we're in a process of, you know, we call it the conversion process, the overcoming process, but we're in a process of becoming like Jesus Christ through Christ living in us, through drinking in of God's Holy Spirit, through the practical application of God's law to where it becomes just second nature. It's just the way we are because of this transformation within us. So how often do we get mad either at ourselves or at, you know, I mean, we get mad at ourselves, but, you know, maybe rightly so, but we shouldn't, you know, frustrate what God is trying to do in us by getting overly mad at ourselves for not being where we think we need to be. You know, not that we shouldn't strive against sin. I'm not saying that at all. But God is working in us. And we need to, you know, fervently desire to become like our older brother, Jesus Christ, yet without, you know, beating ourselves to death over and over and over again, like, you know, Rex Sexton was talking about. You know, can we forgive ourselves? Just as our physical parents, our Heavenly Father wants the very best for us. He doesn't want us to get hurt. He doesn't want us, you know, to grab the horseshoe. He wants to keep us from going on the path where the danger is. And because of that, he gave us his word, the Bible, which contains in it the wisdom and insight that we need for life. You know, eventually in our lives, I know this happened to me quite a few years ago, but generally speaking, after you have children, you will go to your parents and apologize. And I did that. I went to my mom and I said, you know, I'm sorry for, you know, all that stuff I put you through. And she said, you know, I only remember the good stuff. And that's exactly what our Heavenly Father does. You know, when it's all said and done, he's only going to remember the good stuff. As far as east is from the west, that's how far our mistakes and faux pas are from him. Because he is bringing us along. He's raising children that he wants to have become responsible adults, just the way we want our children to become responsible adults. You know, that's our motivation, is to bring up another generation of responsible adults who can be successful in life. So as we've seen, You know, we want our children to be successful, and God wants us to be successful. He wants us to be successful Christians. He wants us to be mature. You know, as it said, you know, we want to grow into the full stature of Jesus Christ. And as a help for that, you know, He has given us His Spirit. He has given us the Bible. And through that, everything we need to become successful is there. But we need to dig into it, study it, think about how those principles work in life. Because the best life now and an eternity of love, joy, and fulfillment await us. You know, they come from embracing God's way of life, from surrendering our will to God, and helping Jesus Christ live His life in us. You know, even more so than, you know, putting our effort into, you know, our effort should be to change from the inside out, to allow God to live in us, to surrender all those parts of our lives that maybe we're, you know, having trouble with, to surrender those parts to God. And through allowing God to give His insight and His understanding to us, that we can grow and literally have the best life we can have now. You know, the young people out here, you know, use that wisdom to formulate a path, you know, whether it's a career path, you know, a marriage path, any of those things. If you use God's way of life, it's the best way. It leads to happiness. It leads to all of those things that we, you know, as human beings have as deep desires. Those are fulfilled by going God's way. So let's have the best life now, and also an eternity of love and peace and fulfillment and the joy of salvation.